From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Voting will soon be over in all but one state as polls close in the West at the top of the hour. The race for president is tightening in Virginia, with Governor Mitt Romney holding the lead at the moment. In Florida, President Obama holds a narrow lead, and there are many votes yet to be counted in the southern part of that state, including Miami.
In Ohio, the results are coming in fairly slowly. It's a state considered essential for Mitt Romney to win. We keep hearing, Robert, no Republican has won the White House without winning Ohio.
Yeah.
At this point, 65% of precincts reporting. It looks like Barack Obama is holding about a 2.3 percentage point lead. That's about 90,000 votes, if I'm doing the math right. So we have not projected a winner there. The only battleground state of which we have projected a winner in the presidential race is New Hampshire, which we put into Barack Obama's column. We're going to go now to Missouri and to NPR's David Wellner, who's been covering the Senate race there. And we have projected that the Democratic incumbent Claire McCaskill will hold on to her seat. David, does this race look close? Did she win it handily or was it a squeaker?
We have about 40% of the returns in, and McCaskill is beating her Republican rival, Congressman Todd Akin, by about 10 percentage points. That's fluctuated between 8 and 15 percentage points during the evening, but it does look like a very comfortable lead that she has over him at this point.
And this, not so long ago, this seat was looking like a Republican pickup. It looked like Claire McCaskill was, I believe, the most vulnerable Democratic incumbent in the Senate.
Absolutely. In fact, Missouri is a state that has been trending more and more Republican. John McCain beat Barack Obama here by 1/10 of a percentage point 4 years ago. It looks like tonight Mitt Romney is going to beat President Obama by at least 10 percentage points. So we have a lot of vote splitters here, but they're splitting their votes because McCaskill is the beneficiary, I guess, of a huge blunder by her Republican opponent, Todd Akin, back in August, who spoke of legitimate rape resulting in women stopping their own pregnancies, as it were. And that led to the Republican establishment just cutting ties with Akin and cutting off all the money to him. And he has been struggling to recover ever since and hasn't quite done it.
David, you cover the Senate for us, and I was reminded when I was listening to Bill Nelson in his acceptance speech, the Democratic victor keeping his seat from the state of Florida, talking about people being tired of the toxic atmosphere in Washington. It's time for people to come together. It's the boilerplate bipartisanship we hear on these election nights. But do you have any expectation that the incoming Senate and the incoming House, for that matter, will be able to get to that place that he's talking about?
Well, I think that there are some reasons why they are going to have to reach agreement, primarily this so-called fiscal cliff that looms at the beginning of next year. Something is going to have to be done to avert that, and it's going to require concessions from both Democrats and Republicans, and the process of doing that may force them to make compromises, even though it's true, it's a toxic stew right now on Capitol Hill. After this election, who knows if things are going to get worse or going to get better, but they have very pressing reasons to come to agreement.
Okay, NPR's David Wellner at the Claire McCaskill headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri.
Three big states we've been talking about for weeks now. Virginia, still very close. In Florida, 93% of precincts reporting Barack Obama has a half a percent point lead over Mitt Romney, 3.9 million, 3.8 million. It's really only a margin of about 30,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And now in Ohio, that's the other close state, and that's where Don Gagne is. And Don, what's happening there?
This place is like a pressure cooker, Robert. They've seen Sherrod Brown's acceptance speech. He, of course, reelected to the U.S. Senate.
He's the Democratic incumbent senator there.
They've been watching the screens, good news after good news after good news for Democrats from all across the country. When they announced that Michigan went for President Obama, Robert, you've never heard an Ohio crowd cheer for Michigan like they did down here. But again, you're kind of waiting for the lid to blow off this place. We don't know how Ohio's going to go. It's too close to call, and we don't know. But there's not a person in this room who doesn't think they're going to be celebrating in pretty short order here tonight.
Any news on any of the congressional races in Ohio that were contested?
You know, I'm just not getting any news here at all on the congressional races, other than the Senate race. But its returns are coming in. There was heavy turnout, but nothing specific to report there.
Okay, that's Don Gagne in Columbus. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
And now to Florida, one of those other key battleground states that is just too close to call. We're joined by NPR's Debbie Elliott, who is at a Republican Party event in Tampa. Debbie, the latest numbers I'm seeing, 93% of precincts reporting the two candidates are 0.5 percentage points apart. What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing that it's going to be a long night here, and that makes me a little nervous because I heard the same thing 12 years ago in Tallahassee at Republican Party headquarters. But, you know, I guess this opens an opportunity for us to talk just a little bit about the recount situation here. Under Florida law, if the difference is one half of 1%,
which is where it is
triggers
right now.
It triggers an automatic recount. So we're kind of in recount territory right now.
Although we are past the era of hanging chads.
We are. No hanging chads. But what will happen is that all of the ballots will have to be put back in the machines again, and those canvassing boards will have to look at that undervotes and overvotes.
We're going to break away right now. We have a little bit of news. First of all, North Carolina.
And before we do that, we have big news from Virginia in the Senate race. George Allen has conceded defeat in that race, I'm told. The Republican vying for the seat now held by the Democrat,
Jim Webb. So we're
saying
Tim Kaine is now seen as the winner in in Virginia. Let's turn now to Massachusetts, where the Democrat Elizabeth Warren is addressing her supporters right now.
That's right. I love you. And to all the women across Massachusetts, Massachusetts, who are working your tails off, you better believe we're going to fight for equal pay for equal work. To all of you, this is your night. This is your victory. Yes, all of us.
Happy Democrats in Massachusetts chanting Warren, Warren, Warren for Elizabeth Warren, who has won a very hard-fought Senate race in Massachusetts, defeating the incumbent Republican Scott Brown. Brown won that seat in a special election after the death of Edward Kennedy. That's one of the Democratic gains. Also, we believe that Virginia remains in Democratic hands. Tim Kaine appears to have won the seat that Jim Webb is retiring from. And here's some more of what Elizabeth Warren has to say.
And let me be clear. I didn't build that. You built that. And you did what everyone thought was impossible. You taught a scrappy first-time candidate how to get in the ring and win. You took on the powerful Wall Street banks and special interests, and you let them know you want a senator who'll be out there fighting for the middle class all of the time. And despite the odds, you elected the first woman senator to the state of Massachusetts. Yeah, I love you too. And I don't have to tell you, this was a tough campaign. Senator Brown and I had our differences, but he and I just spoke and he sent his congratulations. I hope you'll all join me in thanking Senator Brown for his service to the Commonwealth and the country. All of us. Bruce and I wish Scott and Gail and their daughters nothing but the best. Nothing but the best.
Elizabeth Warren addressing her supporters in a victory speech and having some very kind words for her rival in that election, now defeated Senator Scott Brown. Some other states to call here.
No surprises in these calls in the Washington Senate race. The Democrat Maria Cantwell holds on to her seat in California. Senator Dianne Feinstein, the Democrat, holds on to her seat. And in the presidential race, Robert?
Barack Obama will win California, we believe, as well as the state of Washington. Mitt Romney should carry Idaho, and Barack Obama should carry his native state of
Hawaii.
We're
going to go now to NPR's Ken Rudin, who's been tracking races in the Senate and the House.
Ken, it appears at least that this has been a very good night for Democratic Senate candidates.
Well, certainly so far. I mean, they've picked up the seat. Of course, we'll go back to the Angus King, whether he's really a Democrat or not, but certainly it's a Republican defeat. Indiana was interesting of how Joe Donnelly defeated Richard Murdoch. And Massachusetts, we just heard Elizabeth Warren. What was fascinating about that is that Massachusetts is one of those few states that has never elected a woman, a governor or senator.
An unelected governor, didn't they?
Jane Swift was an unelected governor, exactly. But what's the latest buzz in Massachusetts is that John Kerry replaces Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and then Scott Brown runs for that special seat and wins that special election. So I'm sorry, I'm not...
You're getting way ahead of us.
Yeah, I don't
here.
Have time for 2012. I'm already looking at 2013.
We'll set the buzz aside for now. Also, McCaskill in Missouri, Claire McCaskill, appears she's held on to that seat. She looked like she was a goner.
Yes, but that was months ago, obviously, before Todd Akin self-destructed. The most interesting thing is that Virginia was as close as it was, and George Allen conceded. It looks like we're about to call the Virginia seat. Now, of course, Al Gore, as you remember, conceded in 2000, and he took that back. Doesn't look like George Allen is taking that back. One thing I also noticed in Florida that right now President Obama has a 35,000 lead over Mitt Romney in Florida with 94% in. Yeah. But Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, has 41,000 votes. And so maybe he could be the Ralph Nader of 2012.
Again, another measure of how close things are tonight in Virginia. The margin in the popular vote is now a 12,000 vote, slightly less than a 12,000 vote lead. For Mitt Romney, and
it's less than 1%.
That's right. It's actually 49.39% to 49.02%. And when last I looked, there were quite a few precincts in suburban Fairfax County that had not reported, and that indeed could change the balance of that, depending on exactly where they are. So.
We are going now to Ted Robbins, who I believe is covering the Arizona Senate race. Ted, are you there?
I am.
And tell us what you're seeing.
I am seeing a room full of people, no surprise tonight, Melissa, at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Phoenix at state Republican headquarters, and the speeches are just beginning. We are looking at the race between Republican Jeff Flake, who's a congressman right now, and Democrat Richard Carmona, who was the Surgeon General under George W. Bush, who's running now as a Democrat for the Senate. About a third of the precincts in the state show Flake up by about 8%. So it's still too soon to call, and we haven't even seen Mr. Flake in the room yet.
One other interesting race to talk about in Arizona is the race to fill the seat of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, the Democrat who was, of course, badly wounded when she was shot at a congressional event in Arizona. Talk a little bit about that race and what you're seeing there.
Right. You know, Ron Barber, her aide, who was also shot on January 8th in that shooting, has had the seat since September. He won a special election. He won the primary in September. He won the special election for the seat in June. So you know, win or lose, the poor guy has had to run three times in less than a year for a seat, a term that only lasts 2 years. He is running against Martha McSally, who was the first female fighter pilot in the Air Force, a Republican. And right now, that race is also too close to call.
Okay, that's in here. It's Ted Robbins in Arizona, covering the Senate race to fill the seat being vacated by the retiring Republican Senator John Kyle. And some results coming in. Yep. An interesting race in Illinois, Robert.
Big House race from suburban Chicago, I guess. Tammy Duckworth, the Democrat, has defeated Joe Walsh, the incumbent Republican. That's a Democratic gain of a seat. Walsh was a very outspoken and controversial and conservative member. Tammy Duckworth, a veteran, also a minority candidate, and this was a rematch, wasn't it?
A rematch, and Tammy, a very nasty campaign. Yep. Tammy Duckworth, a veteran of the Iraq War, a double amputee.
Double amputee, yeah. Yep.
And she will be joining the House of Representatives.
That's in Illinois' 8th district. On balance, it's hard to keep count, and many of the races haven't yet been tallied up, but it would appear that the Republicans have generally had a good night in the House, certainly maintaining control, possibly gaining a few seats. You're listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The polls just closed in California, Hawaii, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington.
NPR projects that President Obama will win California, Washington, and his home state of Hawaii, and that Republican challenger Mitt Romney will win Idaho and also North Carolina.
But as we've been saying throughout the evening, the big battleground states that we've been talking about, Virginia, Ohio, Florida, Colorado, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Nevada, still remain too close to call.
Yeah. How close? In Florida, 94% of precincts have been reported. Barack Obama enjoys a vote of about a lead of about 35,000 votes. It's 49.8% to 49.3%.
In Virginia, it looks like less than one percentage point still separates Mitt Romney and Barack Obama.
Actually,
Mitt Romney,
it's about a third of a percentage point separates the two of them. So that's an awfully close race, and there are some northern suburban polling places that have not yet reported. So joining us in the studio are E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Matt Continetti of the Washington Free Beacon. As you guys see what we've seen, the McCaskill win, the Indiana suit, the Donnelly win. We're now calling, by the way, Missouri. We're projecting Missouri to be in the Mitt Romney column. No big surprise there. Big thoughts on the evening. Matt Continetti, you start.
Well, you know, from 30,000 feet, my big question tonight is the Obama coalition a personal coalition? Is it just about Barack Obama, the man, the story, the sense of change and hope, and when he rallied his supporters in his campaign, used data-driven methods to identify the supporters and turn them out 4 years into for a second term? Is that going to persist in future years? Because we saw in 2010, the Obama coalition didn't show up when he wasn't on the on the ballot. He was on the ballot this year. It seems like they showed up. Will they in the future? That's a question for the Democrats going forward.
And I think we heard the beginning of a Republican alibi there if Barack Obama wins. On the one hand, I think Matt raised a fair point in looking back at 2010 because the Obama coalition clearly didn't materialize then. But they were also very dispirited by what was happening in Washington. I think the difference in 2012 was that Barack Obama made an argument from the time that the debt ceiling battle, he said, I'm not going to be able to make a deal with these guys unless I win the argument on first principles. And he has spent the last year and a half making the case for what I would see as balance between government and the market, the need for a balanced budget deal. Yes, we need tax increases as well as cuts. And there were a whole series of specifics he offered in this campaign. And he said, choose a direction for the country. You voters, you settle the squabble we've had. He put that on the ballot, and looking at the map here, I think the trend is going his way. And I think it's the Republicans who are going to have a big conversation with themselves about the cost of the Tea Party for their Senate chances, for example, in Missouri and Indiana, Joe Walsh's loss in Illinois as a signal of that. Where do they want to go from here? And so I think they're the ones who really need to have a conversation, because they would have lost the big one tonight, again, you know, if these trends continue.
Both of you are talking about political parties as if they're organic institutions, as if they're rational bodies of people. You know, we've both been to conventions. That's not what happens. I mean, if it succeeds in one corner of the country, it succeeds in that. Tries to influence the party and push it in that direction.
Another large observation is, I mean, this is Obama, should he win tonight, will be among the first president, I believe since Roosevelt, FDR, to win a second term while losing vote share. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's another challenge he has. Republicans
having
conversations.
Had a smaller share in 36 than in 32?
In 40.
Oh, in 40, yes. Third term.
Yes,
third
so exactly,
term,
yes. So, and so it may be a first, actually, at least in the modern era, of a president winning a second term with a smaller vote share. So, again, it won't be just the Republicans having. And by the way, Republicans don't like having conversations, so I don't think they're going to be having many conversations. They'll just be going on full throttle, doing what they're doing. Because at the end of the day, you know, we've reverted back to our norm. It seems to me of two close political parties really just eking out a vote.
First of all, thanks to Matt for comparing Barack Obama to FDR. I'm sure he'd be grateful for that. But secondly, in the Democratic Party, you had real coherence this year. And I think it was very significant that the most significant surrogate that Barack Obama had was the last Democratic president, Bill Clinton. And this will mean that over since 1992, Democrats have won four of the six elections around a fairly coherent, moderately progressive program. And I think that for all the incoherence of parties that you rightly point to, Robert, there's some coherence here.
EJ, Matt, thanks. A quick update on Florida. 94% of precincts reporting. It's now a 40,000 vote margin for President Obama over Mitt Romney. And as has been pointed out, 41,000 votes cast for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate in Florida. But there are still about 130 polling places to report in Florida.
Let's go now, Robert, to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee, and we're joined by Congresswoman Gwen Moore, who represents Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. Congresswoman Moore, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for getting me into the conversation.
I'm pleased to have you with us, and we're looking at some early returns, still fewer than half the precincts reporting in your state. I'm looking at a very narrow margin for Barack Obama, about 0.7 percentage points. And in the Senate race, Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat, going up against the former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, even closer than that. What are you seeing from where you sit?
Well, I've looked at some county data, and I can tell you that I believe that Tammy Baldwin is going to win because the city, Milwaukee, from where I hail, is only about 12% of those precincts had reported. Other Democratic strongholds, the city of Racine and Kenosha, had not reported. And so I believe that Tammy Baldwin is going to be able to eke out a victory in Wisconsin. And I think one of the reasons that they projected a win for President Obama so early, because even though the city of the first class had not come in, he had a substantial lead, even without the largest city, and Dane County, from where Senator Baldwin hailed.
Heavily Democratic part of the state, yeah.
This is Madison, yeah?
That's the state capital there. You sit on the House Budget Committee, which, of course, is chaired by your fellow Wisconsin Congressman, Paul Ryan, the vice presidential nominee.
Oh, absolutely.
Your thoughts as you look forward to the fiscal cliff? We've been talking about this through the evening. A lot of really hard work that has to get done to keep that from happening. Where do you see that going?
Oh, yes. I mean, honestly, you never think your constituents say, well, what bill did you pass? And I just feel so exhausted because you spend so much time trying to stop really bad things from happening. And using the rules of the House to try to engage in debate and to, you know, at a minimum, to shame them into not passing things. Walking over to the Senate and using the advantage that you have with a Democratic Senate majority to alert them to provisions that are trying to be passed over in the other House. Certainly, I can tell you that 62% of the cuts that Paul Ryan proposed, in those the pain inured to the poor and to women. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Pell Grants, food stamps. These are programs where, you know, two-thirds or more of the adults who use these programs are women.
And I apologize for interrupting you, Congresswoman Moore. We just want to make a projection that we are now calling the state of Iowa for Barack Obama. So that Midwestern...
Exactly. You heard the screaming in the background here. My constituents are, this is so emotional because this is where it all began for President Obama. And as a matter of fact, I remember going to Iowa and meeting with Valerie Jarrett and others at a time when there was a very, very small group of organizers.
I understand. So, and we'll have to leave it there. I apologize for cutting you off. Congressman Gwen Moore, who represents Wisconsin's 4th District, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jeff Brady's in Denver, where he is watching, one of the big battleground states. And, Jeff, what's the story there?
Well, the excitement is certainly building here. We're starting to get a lot more numbers in. We have about 30% of the precincts reporting. And right now, President Obama in Colorado is ahead 50% to 47% over Governor Mitt Romney. Again, though, that's only 30% of the precincts reporting. We still have a lot of numbers left to count here in Colorado. The process has been a little bit slow. The state's Democratic Party chairman, Rick Pollaccio, came out on stage just about 2 hours ago, and he said it's probably going to be a long night. Just about more than an hour, actually, after the polls had closed, voters were still lined up. And Chairman Pollaccio was telling people here in this hall, if you have a friend who is waiting in line to vote, text them right now. Tell them to stay in line as long as they were in line at 7 p.m. when those polls closed, that 7 p.m. Mountain Time. They'll still be able to vote tonight.
Let's just do a little bit of a state of play here, Robert.
Yeah.
In the quest for 270 electoral votes.
Yes, see where we stand right
now. Barack
Obama
at this point has 247. We just put Iowa in his column. He needs 23. Mitt Romney has 203. He would need 67 to get to 270.
We have not projected Nevada going anywhere. That's 6 electoral votes, and it's a state where the Democrats were seen as quite strong. So what we're seeing right now is Nevada... Have we projected Wisconsin going
through? We've not projected Wisconsin, Colorado, Nevada, Florida, Ohio, Virginia.
Yeah, well, at that point, you can see a route to 270 for the... hold on, I think we have some big news here, fellas.
And we are calling the state of Ohio.
For Barack Obama.
With 18 electoral votes, which now brings him to 265. Have I done the math right?
265 electoral votes. Ron Elving, our senior Washingtoner, is that your count?
265 is our count at this point, adding Ohio.
So Wisconsin or Nevada at this point.
Actually, any of the other battleground states, which are the only states that have not been called,
would put Barack Obama over the top.
And Oregon added our last non-battleground.
This is special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News.
Support for NPR's election coverage comes from Nissan, featuring the all-new Nissan Altima with 38 miles per gallon highway. Nissan. Innovation that excites. From the Principal Financial Group, managing investments and working to help build dreams for more than 130 years. The Principal at dreamagain.com. And from America's Natural Gas Alliance, supplying domestic energy while working to protect the environment. Learn more at anga.us. This is NPR.
Thank you.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Robert, let's recap where we were just before we went to the break. We had just called the state of Ohio, projected Barack Obama the winner there, which gives him 265 electoral votes. Any one of the contested battleground states, Virginia, Florida, of course, with huge numbers, but Nevada, Wisconsin, Colorado, any one of those would put him over
the
top.
He's now leading by 42,000 votes in Florida with 95% of the precincts reporting. He's now up in the electoral tally, in the vote tally in Virginia by just a few thousand votes. Our Don Gagne is in Columbus, and Ohio must be, Ohio Democrats, that is, must be feeling pretty happy right now.
This crowd has gone crazy. I mean, just screaming with joy when the news flashed on the screen that the president has been elected. That was before they even knew that Ohio had gone for the president. But this crowd feels like they are the center of the political universe tonight. And you know something? They probably earned it, given what this campaign has been like and how much focus has been here.
Now, we should say some television networks have declared the election. We're still waiting on some states where we haven't seen a result yet, so we haven't gotten to 270 yet. But I think all that stands between the president and a majority, by our count, would be a win in either Wisconsin or Nevada, which would look pretty strong.
I'll accept that caveat. I'm kind of reading the crowd here.
Yeah, no.
They're celebrating. They're not waiting for our call.
Now, look, you've been covering you've almost become an Indians fan. You've been there for so long.
Yeah, not quite. But I know what you're saying.
How much challenge is there going to be now? That is, if there's a result, we see that there's a win tonight for Barack Obama in Ohio. Does that stand, or is there going to be a recount? What happens next?
Well, it is so close here, and I think if they're within, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head because it's so loud here, but if they're within like a quarter of a percent, I think, that it's an automatic recount, and we may get that, but if we look at the math, the president, by the end of the night, may not even need Ohio to be over the 270. So it's possible that here and also in Florida, I think we could have recounts that are for the record but not for the result. But do look for this to be contested and taken as far as it can go if there are legal challenges to be brought, I think.
Okay, Don Gagne in Columbus. We're going to go now to Scott Horsley, who is in Chicago. I gather the crowds there, the Democrats, must be at least as happy as they are in Ohio right now.
Robert, I'd like to tell you that this crowd is a hushed, waiting for NPR to make its prediction of the race. They're taking their cue from the TV monitors.
Touché.
It's a jubilant crowd here. But, you know, I was just doing that math that Don Gagne was talking about a few minutes ago. And this is a vindication of the multi-path strategy that campaign manager Jim Messina sketched out low those many months ago. Barack Obama could actually cross the 270 electoral vote threshold tonight without Florida, without Ohio, and without Virginia. So it's very possible that all the provisional ballot talk, all the automatic recounts in close contest could be, as Don says, for the record, but would not affect the outcome.
But, you know, I can't escape the image of Ohio going for Obama, Michigan staying with Obama, Iowa going for Obama. These are the states where the Democratic Party was bludgeoned 2 years ago, and back in the upper Midwest, running on the very same auto bailout that had already happened by 2012, the Democrats seem to have done incredibly well on that issue.
Well, and President Obama himself has said on the campaign trail this week, even in Michigan, even in Ohio, the auto rescue was not popular at the time. This was not an easy decision. He knew it was going to anger a lot of people who didn't like that level of government involvement in the economy. But now, in hindsight, at least a lot of folks in Ohio who owe their jobs to that rescue were willing to side with the president.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Horsley in Chicago, one Senate result in Hawaii. This is a Democratic hold. Longtime Democratic Senator Danny Akaka is retiring, and the Democrat Mazie Hirono we forecast her as the winner over Republican Linda Lingle,
the former governor of Hawaii. Let's go to NPR's Ari Shapiro, who is at the Romney headquarters at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. Ari, you, when we talked to you not too long ago, it was about maybe an hour ago, you said the mood already was very somber, and I can only imagine that now it's gone to a new depth of somberness.
Yeah, well, you just heard Don Gagne and Scott Horsley sort of shouting over the crowds. I don't have to shout.
Yes. You sound like a golf announcer, in fact.
Mitt Romney is going to be delivering a speech tonight to basically a half-empty ballroom, which is a huge change from just one night ago when a stadium packed with people were roaring and cheering for him. I think it's difficult for anyone to face a crowd like that and not believe that they are overwhelmingly going to be carried to victory. This is a crowd watching some TV networks that, although NPR has not yet gone there, these networks have called the race for President Obama's reelection. And
we're, you know, conservative, you know.
We're cautious here, but the crowd, if they were somber before, well, they're, you know, ready to pack up at this point.
The Empire State Building is now entirely blue, but we have not yet given Barack Obama the 270 electoral votes he needs to win the Electoral College. Ari, let's just talk about the path that brought Mitt Romney here, because, of course, he ran for president also 4 years ago. This is something that he has been banking on for quite some time.
Yeah, and don't forget that this is also a generational thing. 44 years ago, his father ran for president, failed in the primaries, and Mitt Romney came so much closer tonight.
We have been in this place before when networks have called the race, and we have not. And yeah. I'd like to ask Ron.
But before we go to Ron, let me just point out that on the Twitter feed from Barack Obama, he has already said 4 more years. We are all in this together. That's how we campaign, and that's who we are. This happened because of you. It's a preliminary bit of acceptance
isn't
speech
he
in
being
less than
rash.
140 characters at a time.
By the way, in Virginia, he's now up by 7,000 votes, with 92% of the precincts reporting that is President Obama's. NPR, oh, well, we don't have time now for Ron Elving, do we? Are we going to do that right after the break? You guys tell me, right after the break. The news is that Ohio has gone for Barack Obama. And
Wisconsin, we have now called for Barack Obama, which puts him over the 270 electoral votes he needs.
Barack Obama, you heard it first, he has won a majority in the Electoral College.
275
re-election,
votes, I would give him.
Something that didn't seem all that certain not that many months ago, but certainly a very decisive win here this evening. You've been listening, and I hope you'll continue to listen to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. President Barack Obama has won the states of Ohio and Wisconsin. That puts him over the 270 electoral votes he needs to win a second term.
The president had a virtual firewall in the upper Midwest. He also carried Michigan. He carried Iowa. And he also won the battleground state of New Hampshire. This is special coverage from NPR News.
And we're joined here in the studio by NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. And Mara, at this point, we have now projected that Barack Obama is over the 270 votes he needed, with Wisconsin added to his column. We're looking at a second term for President Obama. What does it look like?
Well, we certainly are, and that's a big question. He didn't spend too much time on the stump talking about what a second term would look like. But I think the fact that he is going to get a decisive win, looks like he's going to win the popular vote. He certainly will have a bigger popular vote margin than he does right now. And I think that gives him a strong hand as he goes into these very important negotiations with the Republicans, who still control the House, and they might have picked up one or two in the Senate, but they don't control the Senate, in terms of what they're going to do about the deficit, the Bush tax cuts, entitlements. I mean, this is a big, big debate that both candidates talked a little bit about but never laid out their specific plans. And I think the president would say he has a mandate for attacking these problems in a balanced way. And that's shorthand for raising revenues at the same time as you cut spending.
Let's bring Ron Elving into the conversation, NPR's senior Washington editor. Ron, I'm reminded of what President George W. Bush said after he won re-election, that he had earned political capital and he intended to spend it. We had Mara Liasson there talking about Barack Obama's mandate. What do you see as that mandate? How much political capital will Barack Obama have in a second term? Ron?
I am here. He's back
yes.
with us.
The question was, how much political capital does Barack Obama have in a second term? And if he does want to spend it, how will he spend it?
This is a big question, and one that I must say, at this
hour. Sorry to catch you off guard there.
we can give Ron a break and come back in a few minutes.
I would be glad to try to answer that question. Barack Obama, at this moment, has barely gotten over 270. We don't know how he's going to do in some of these other states, but it will be a narrow win. There will be some recount. The national popular vote will probably be pretty close. The House of Representatives is remaining every bit as Republican as it was before, and that is going to make them feisty, and so the political capital will be limited.
Let me bring one other bit of news in here, which also relates to a major theme in the divided politics of the country. Bob Kerry failed in his bid to win the Nebraska Senate seat. Deborah Fisher, the Republican, will occupy the seat vacated by the retirement of Democrat Ben Nelson. There were two retirements this year, which some people say left us with the Senate without Olympia Snow and without Ben Nelson, in which it is argued there is no Republican who is more liberal than any Democrat in the Senate and no Democrat who is more conservative than any Republican in the Senate. So some you may have a one that I'm not thinking of, but Nelson and Olympia Snow have taken the odd ends, the centrist ends off their parties, and it suggests that there's no reason to be very optimistic about lots of comity and cooperation and a big center in the Senate.
Well, Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, who has just been reelected, might dispute that argument, but he would have a tough time making the case.
Susan Collins he'd have to find.
There you go. But there would be only those two, perhaps three, who would even be in a mood to dispute that statement, whereas even a few years ago, you still had a group of half a dozen in each party who more often, or often at least, voted with the folks across the aisle.
Let's go to Wisconsin and to NPR's David Shaper, who has been following both the presidential campaign in that state, but also the very hotly contested Senate race between Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat, and the Republican, Tommy Thompson. David, we mentioned we have put Wisconsin in the president's column that put him over the 270 electoral votes. What are you seeing in the Senate race? What are the results showing there?
Well, the results that we've seen are quite close. The official results, 49-48% with Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat, leading former Governor Tommy Thompson, the Republican, narrowly. A lot of people here already believe at Tammy's victory party tonight that she will win this. They're buoyed by the fact that the president has won this state. The better he does, the better it is for Tammy Baldwin. And there's a lot of enthusiasm in the building here tonight. Democrats in Wisconsin who were down and out just a couple of months ago when they were unable to recall Governor Scott Walker and remove him from office, they prevail in the state tonight.
Okay, NPR's David Shaper reporting from Madison, Wisconsin tonight. A reminder that you can find more analysis throughout the evening at NPR.org. You're listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News. We'll be right back.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. President Obama has won the battleground states of Ohio, Iowa, New Hampshire, and now Wisconsin, which gives him more than the 270 electoral votes needed to win a second term. Democrats will retain control of the Senate, and Republicans will keep their majority in the House of Representatives. And on that note, we turn to Bill Burton, a Democratic strategist, senior strategist with Priorities USA, Democratic Super PAC, also former Deputy White House Press Secretary. Mr. Burton, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on.
What can you tell us about the strategy that brought President Obama to a second term? What worked?
Well, I think at the end of the day, Mitt Romney's problem was that there was a sense that he just would not fight for the middle class, and President Obama just, you know, beat his pants off on that issue alone.
What do you make of a $6 billion campaign, the huge role of outside spending in this year's campaign, including from your own group?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of money in politics, and there's too much money, and the president has said that he's committed to campaign finance reform. None of us wanted to get into the super PAC business, but if Karl Rove and the Koch brothers said that they were going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars getting involved trying to drive their right-wing agenda, we thought, well, we may not like the rules, but these are the rules that we got, and so we're going to get engaged. And I think that coming out of this election, there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing over on the Republican side about how many hundreds of millions of dollars were spent to basically no effect in this election.
On the other hand, I've heard, this is Robert Siegel, Bill, I've heard a Republican congressman say this evening that the problem you've all got to deal with the fiscal cliff in the next couple of months is getting rid of Obamacare, because that's what the problem is. What, say something that gives anyone any cause for optimism that people will be able to solve problems in the next few months that they haven't been able to solve for the past couple of years.
Well, it's my personal hope that people in Washington will look at the results of this election and see that, A, nobody wants Obamacare repealed.
I think about 40% of the country seems to want it repealed.
Okay, well, 40% of the country wants a lot of things that the majority would never go for. So if we're talking about where the country is, the country does not want Obamacare repealed. Mm-hmm. They want to make progress in Washington. They want President Obama to keep doing his job. And so if we were at this moment where there's a moment where we can actually make big progress, we're headed towards this fiscal cliff, John Boehner, Harry Reid, President Obama can sit down and actually get something big done, I think that this is a moment where we can do it. The American people didn't vote for gridlock. They voted for people to keep making progress. And hopefully that's what happens here.
Okay. Bill Burton, senior strategist with the Democratic Super PAC Priorities USA. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And now to NPR's Howard Berkus. I was in Salt Lake City with some reaction. What's this?
And actually, let's go to the next state over, where we can say that the state of Nevada, we are now projecting, has gone for Barack Obama.
With six electoral votes. Let's see.
Adding to the president's electoral college lead, that now puts him, I guess, at 281.
With 92% of the vote counted in Virginia, President Obama leads by about 7,000 votes, and with 96% of it counted in Florida, he leads by over 50,000 votes. So things still close in those two battleground states. What's the news from Utah, Howard?
Well, here in Utah, Orrin Hatch has won re-election. It'll be his seventh term in the U.S. Senate, and there really wasn't any doubt about that. You may remember that Hatch faced a challenge in the nominating process, forced into his first primary in his career, but he easily won that primary, easily won tonight. The congressional race of interest here, Mia Love, a Republican who is trying to become the first African-American woman Republican in the United States Congress, running against Jim Matheson, who is the six-term incumbent. That race has yet to be decided. But I have to say that the room here, I'm at the Republican party here at a hotel. The room here is really deflated with the defeat of Mitt Romney. Yeah. This room is filled with Republicans, many of whom are also Mormons. They were hoping to have the first Mormon president, see some acceptance for the faith in that. That hasn't happened. The excitement here has diminished significantly, despite the other Republican wins in the state.
This really would have been important for the Mormon community in
Utah.
Spoke,
Yeah, you know, I had spoken to people earlier before the result was known about that, and they said that a Romney win would have been a signal that, that Americans were ready to accept Mormons in prominent roles. You know, the most prominent role as the President of the United States, that they looked past his faith. They would have looked past his faith to elect him, that the faith would not have been seen so much anymore as out of the mainstream. They still hope that that has been accomplished in this election, but they were hoping that there would have been 4 years of greater interest again in the Mormon faith, and they believe that as people learned about the faith and they saw that, that Romney in governing was governing as, you know, a mainstream American politician, that that would have accrued to the benefit of the faith, more acceptance for the faith.
Okay. Thank you, Howard.
You're welcome.
And Melissa, I wanted to tell you that now I've been watching Virginia all night.
You've been deeply engrossed in the granular returns from Virginia.
I just love the politics of Virginia. And now nearly all of Fairfax County, the big, almost million-person-strong county in northern
Virginia.
Right
outside Washington, D.C.
Right outside Washington, has reported nearly all of it. And at this point, that has put Barack Obama about 40,000 votes ahead of Mitt Romney in Virginia with 94%. Of the precincts reported, so it is still quite possible. I mean, it can't call it, obviously, but they'll be counting those votes all night, and it's possible that Barack Obama will win in Virginia, and he remains in the lead with 96% of the precincts reported
in Florida. And ahead in Colorado. If those numbers hold, Robert, we are talking nowhere near that very close Electoral College math that we were agonizing about.
We're talking electoral landslide.
We're talking a big landslide. Let's go to Iowa and to NPR's Elsa Chang, who is at Democratic headquarters there. Elsa, earlier we talked to you about Iowa falling into Barack Obama's column. What are you hearing since we've talked last time?
Oh, my God. The room is just going absolutely crazy right now. People are just ecstatic. There are people crying, dancing. The music is pumping.
They're playing the Bee Gees.
You can hear.
They're staying alive in Des Moines.
You're doing great at that.
Name that tune.
You know, and there's just a lot of nostalgia in the room because, as you mentioned earlier, this is the state that launched Obama when he won a very unexpected victory in the 2008 Iowa caucuses. I've met a lot of people here who were there in 2008, who helped organize. And for them, it's like, finally, we get to finish what we started. The guy who basically loaned Obama his office here in Des Moines to open the first field office in Iowa, he was crying when he talked to me. And he's like, I was a little bit worried during some points in the week leading up to today. But now that it's happened, I guess I wasn't that doubtful after all.
Let me ask you this. We talked earlier with the Republican governor of Iowa,
Terry Branstad,
who was very optimistic about strong Republicans showing, at least in congressional races. He also thought it would turn out for Mitt Romney, which didn't happen. Any congressional returns that you can look at to tell us what's going on in Iowa?
Yeah, so far, in the Vilsack versus Steve King race, we had about 319 precincts reporting out of 490. Vilsack is actually falling behind Steve King. And remember,
she's the Democrat.
That's right. She's the Democrat. Steve King is the Tea Partier who's made quite a national splash by saying sometimes, occasionally, inflammatory things like comparing illegal immigrants to stray dogs and stray cats. King is pulling ahead in that race. In the Boswell, that's Leonard Boswell versus Tom Latham. Tom Latham's the Republican, a 9-term Republican, who's going up against Leonard Boswell, an 8-term Democrat.
These are two incumbents who are pitted against each other.
Exactly. It's one of two races in the country right now where a sitting Democrat is going up against a sitting Republican. Latham being the Republican, is pulling ahead of Boswell right now. That's about 270 precincts reporting out of 381.
All right. NPR's Elsa Chang in Des Moines. Elsa, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And Robert, some results out of Colorado.
News from Colorado. We now project Barack Obama, the winner of Colorado's 9 electoral votes. Our Jeff Brady is in Denver. Folks there pretty happy about that?
Oh, Robert, there is lots of cheering and hugging going on here. The wine and the beer is flowing. Absolutely, a celebration is going on. People weren't really sure what to expect tonight, but it is not the close race that everyone here was fearing at the Democratic Party election night headquarters.
You know, earlier, Senator Bennett of Colorado told me that we would witness a ground game at work in Colorado that would make his, the one that prevailed against the Tea Party onslaught 2 years ago, make his look like Little League. Was it a very impressive operation there?
It was. You know, we saw evidence of that at one polling place today. This was one of the busier polling places out in Aurora, Colorado. And there were people standing out in front saying, oh, the line in there was 3 hours long. You need to go to this other place and vote because in Arapahoe County you can vote wherever. And we were a little suspicious of that. Like, who's here telling these people to go somewhere else to vote? And so we went up and started talking to them. It turned out it was people with the Barack Obama campaign, and they wanted to make sure that no one got to the poll and they got frustrated by a 2 or 3 hour line. And we're telling people, well, this other place down the road, you can go right in and vote, and you'll be out in 15 minutes.
They were doing logistics on Election Day. They were actually moving people around. Well, with Colorado now in the Obama column, Melissa, do we have, what is our running total of electoral votes?
We are now up to 290 with Colorado and Wisconsin and Nevada now added to that. We are still waiting, the big states we're still waiting for, Virginia with 13, Florida with 29. Let's go to Virginia and to NPR's Brian Naylor, who is at Democratic headquarters in Richmond. And Brian, we mentioned earlier that the Senate seat in Virginia we've projected that Tim Kaine is the winner of that race, the seat that was held by the Democrat Jim Webb.
That's right, Melissa. And Kaine won by about, I'm just trying to do the math right now in my head, 51% to 48%. A much bigger margin than right now is between the two presidential candidates. Kaine, of course, the former governor, ran on a ticket of on a pledge of bipartisanship, of working together to solve problems. Allen was seen as a much more partisan candidate, and I think Kaine's message matched the mood, I think, of Virginia voters a lot more than George Allen did this.
And I think those voters there in Virginia are looking at numbers showing that Barack Obama is leading Mitt Romney in Virginia. We have not called that news yet.
Right. It's very close in the presidential race, only about a percentage point difference. And it could still be a few moments yet or several moments yet before anybody's ready to call that. Even though 94% of the precincts are reporting, it's very tight.
Okay. NPR's Brian Naylor in Richmond, Virginia. Brian, thanks.
In a moment, Melissa, we're going to be handing, I'll be handing off to Audie Cornish.
And I'll be handing off to Guy Raz. We're going to take us through the wee hours of the morning.
Yes, they still have lots and lots of House races to tell us about, not to mention these cliffhangers in Florida and Virginia, which are not yet resolved.
And I think if I'm looking at this number right, the latest numbers for the House is one Democratic pickup. That number is going to change many times through the evening. And in the Senate, Democrats have also gained one seat at this point.
Well, it's been great fun. See you tomorrow when all things considered.
You bet. Thanks, Robert. You're listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Melissa Block. NPR projects that President Barack Obama has won a clear victory tonight against challenger Mitt Romney. How big a victory exactly remains to be seen. But, Adi, looking at the numbers right now, Barack Obama has 290 electoral votes. We're still waiting on final results from Virginia and Florida. We'll remember that 4 years ago, his electoral college total was 365, a real landslide.
And looking at some information we have here, the economy was overwhelmingly cited by voters as the decisive issue in their choice for president. Exit polls also suggest that President Obama's victory was possible because he held on to the same groups that gave him his 2008 victory. We also have one or two House races to call. In Illinois' 17th district, we have Sherry Bustos, Democrat, who has won the race there.
And that's interesting. That's a Democratic pickup. And also, I believe, in the Illinois' 11th district, these are all districts that were redistricted to the Democrats' favor, and we see it paid off. Two Republicans have gone down to their Democratic challengers. Let's go now to Congressman Chris Van Hollen, the top Democrat on the House Budget Committee. He's from the state of Maryland. Congressman Van Hollen, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
Talk about the returns that you're seeing from your chamber. We just talked about a couple of Democratic pickups, and there have been a couple of others around the country. Tammy Duckworth joining the House from Illinois. What are you seeing as you look at the landscape?
Well, we're seeing pickups in a number of states, in addition to the ones you mentioned. Annie McLean Custer, I believe.
In New Hampshire.
Up in New Hampshire. And so I think we'll continue to pick up seats as the night goes on. As you know, we also had some unfortunate losses, unfortunate from our perspective, Ben Chandler in Kentucky. But I do believe we'll end the night with the Democrats gaining seats in the House. So what the final number is obviously remains to be seen.
Well, one theme that we've been talking about throughout the evening is the toxic atmosphere that's prevailed in Congress and whether there's any prospect that that will change. We've certainly heard a lot of people on both sides saying that it has to change. Where do things stand from where you see? You've got the negotiations over the sequester coming up and the fiscal cliff.
Well, that's right. Two big issues. Look, I hope that now the president has been reelected. A lot of our colleagues will now focus on trying to work together. As you know, at least as was publicly stated by people like the Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, the top priority of many Republicans was to defeat the president. Now that he's been reelected, hopefully they'll focus on other things. And the president's been very clear that he's willing to compromise on these big issues in order to move the country forward. And he's proposed the kind of balanced approach to reducing the long-term deficit that groups like Simpson-Bowles have done just in terms of the overall framework. Republicans rejected that approach. Mitt Romney rejected that approach. The voters seem to have supported the president, and so hopefully we can now move forward and get things done.
The chairman of the Budget Committee, of course, is Paul Ryan, the vice presidential nominee on the Republican ticket, who has talked about no tax increases and taken a very hard line about what that math should be. Where is the room for compromise there?
Well, I think Paul Ryan is going to confront a real question. And the question is whether he wants to be part of the solution or whether he wants to continue to put forth budgets and proposals that are totally one-sided and totally uncompromising. I mean, the reason the Ryan budget became sort of the rallying cry for the Tea Party element in the House is because it's an uncompromising document. We've now had an election, and you know, Paul Ryan said that you know this election was going to, in part, decide what direction the country takes. So I hope now that the country has reelected the president, Republicans in the House will be willing to work with the president instead of trying to defeat him and stop him at every turn.
Well, Chris Van Hollen, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
That's Congressman Chris Van Hollen, a Democrat on the House Budget Committee from the state of Maryland. Dottie?
We're going to talk next to Andrew Kohut, president of the Pew Research Center. And Andrew, we just heard from the House budget. We just heard from top Democrat Representative Chris Van Hollen. And obviously, Congress was such a huge issue over the last year or two. What did you hear from voters, or what are we seeing in some of the exit polls about how much people cared about health care, for instance?
Well, health care was one of the top issues. It wasn't as important as the economy, obviously. But there is a good deal of support for President Obama's approach on dealing with a deficit. Our surveys have consistently shown that the public wants to see both revenue enhancement and cuts. It's not all one way. And there's a lot of support in this exit poll and a lot of concern about fairness. The public thinks that the economic system hasn't been fair to people. It's favored the rich. And if you look into the way people looked at these two candidates, they thought that President Obama had favored the middle class on balance, a plurality, and a majority of people thought that Romney favored the rich. So, there's some real issues that come out, opinions that come out of this exit poll that support many of the things that Obama's going to try to do. Now, on the other hand, we see the basic conservatism of the public when it comes to size of government. We have more people this year than 4 years ago saying they want a smaller government and not a larger government. So the public has a nuanced point of view, not an ideological point of view, but there's lots of reasons to believe that President Obama is going to have a good deal of capital with this kind of win. You know, what this exit poll showed was that 53% of the people that were questioned, the likely voters, said they approved of Barack Obama. So I guess that explains this kind of electoral victory.
Thanks, Andy. We have a couple of key congressional races that have come in. Arizona Senate. The winner there is Congressman Jeff Flake. He takes over the seat that was once by the Senate whip, John Kyle. And also in Iowa, Republican Steve King is the winner there over former First Lady of Iowa, Kristi Vilsack.
Yes, Steve King, the incumbent, hanging on to his seat. Let's go to end this hour to Florida and to NPR's Debbie Elliott. Florida, one of the two, I believe, at this point, states we have not yet called. President Obama, as we have said, is well over the 270 electoral votes needed. Debbie, Florida, what's going on? Last time I saw, the race was extremely, extremely close.
It is, but it's not quite as close as it was. Right now, the percentages I see on the Secretary of State's website have President Obama with 49.9% of the vote and Mitt Romney with 49.25% of the vote. So we're no longer within that half a percentage point that would trigger the automatic recount. Still waiting for votes to come in from the south part of the state, from Miami-Dade, which traditionally votes more Democratic than Republican. So the margin looks okay there. It's, still early. We don't know. I'm here at the Republican Party headquarters in Tampa, and the room has just emptied once the cable networks called Ohio for the president.
Yeah.
People here started leaving. But the chairman got up, the chairman of the Republican Party got up and said, don't call it a night.
Don't
keep
call it
praying.
A night, yep.
You never know.
All right. NPR's Debbie Elliott in Tampa. Debbie, thanks so much. I'm Melissa Block. I'm leaving this chair. Guy Raz is stepping in to join Audie Cornish.
We will
Cornish.
Miss you, Melissa.
Have a good time, Audie. You'll be taking coverage in for the next few hours. You are listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News.